on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Good morning and welcome along to another week of Greyhound Racing. I'm Dave Carlson. Terrific to have your company. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be joined by Jason McKay, the trainer of Peter Mossman Classic champ Mr. Twister. Robbie Britton, whose chaser Fanta Bale bolted in the Group 1 Albion Park Gold Cup on Thursday night. And Rob is also going to be talking about the Victorian Government's proposed new code of practice. We'll also speak with Queensland hobby trainer Terry Orkram in relation to Shoes to Phil's brilliant win in the Flying Amy Classic, and we'll head to England to Julie Collier once again from Sky Sports UK for her wrap of round three of the English Derby. Look, we're going to kick it off with Robbie Britton. We're going to head to Melbourne now to the kennels of Rob, the champion conditioner that he is. Now, Rob, good morning to you and congratulations on the stunning win. Actually, he's not with us at the moment. We're having trouble getting hold of Robbie Britton at the moment. So coming up, we'll speak to Rob about Fanta Bale's victory all the way out of Box 7 at Albion Park. And we'll also be talking quite a bit about that brand new proposed new code of practice from the Victorian government. Look, Greyhound participants are currently being invited to have their say on the code of practice, and you've got until Monday, August the 14th, to have your say. So I certainly urge you to have your say on that. And Rob, a very intelligent man. He's certainly a guy who speaks with clarity and a very experienced trainer. He's going to have his say on that. So we're going to speak to Jason. We're just trying to get hold of Jason McKay and Robbie Britton at the moment, but we're not having much success, so we might have to go on to Terry Orkram in just a moment. So they are the guests. I can tell you when we go to England with Julie Collier that the Irish dogs, which really starred in the second round, well, only one of them stood out in the third round, and that was Tyre O'Shea, who's a massive chance of taking out the entire series. The other Irish dogs didn't perform that well, but the English dogs, they really stepped up in round number three. So Julie is coming up as well. All right. Well, look, we're going to go to Queensland first now. We're trying to get hold of Jason. We're trying to get hold of Robbie. And I'm pretty sure that Terry Orkram is on the line now, and he is. Look, Terry Orkram, his dog Shoes to Phil showed his customary strength to take out the listed Flying Amy Classic at Albion Park on Thursday night. Terry's on the line. Terry, congratulations to you. When the dog was stalking Opal Nera and Jackson Benz coming off the back, you must have been quietly confident.
To be honest with you, Dave, I wasn't. When he went past me at the boxes, he was still about three lengths off them, and I thought, well, we may possibly run a place. But he found a way through, and as you said, his customary late sprint and strength, and he certainly had the will to win, and I was elated.
Well, he ran 29 of 91. He sliced through late. He took a narrow gap to beat, took a turn, and Opal Nera has now won 7 of 14, including a 29 and 75 at Albion Park in the heats of the Young Guns earlier this year. At just 26 months of age, he's got a big future.
Well, I'm hoping so. Obviously, I look at later on down the track that he will run 600. Would like to contest the Sale Cup in December of this year, which I think is 600 or 650 metres. That's always been something that I desired through another dog I had, which never happened. But, look, it's exciting. And I've just come off cloud nine now, and it's certainly sunk in that I do have a dog that's just above average, and it certainly is a good feeling.
Terry, Shoes to Fill is by Golden Easter Egg winner Tonk out of Indiana Gold, and there's a story behind that Shoes to Fill name.
There is. I used to have a dog which was impeccably bred, and it was out of Miss Brook and Sire Radley Bale, and he was called Mr. To Us. He, I think, ran the second fastest maiden run home time at Albion Park in 12:45, and he did win his maiden by 14 and a half lengths. So went on to win probably another six races beyond, and just with a small problem that he had, it ended his racing career. And my ambitions, as I said, to compete in the Sale Cup, because he certainly, with his breeding, was going to be a stayer, and certainly he did exactly as this fellow did, had a strong run home. So we named him Shoes to Fill, and he certainly has done that, and proudly so.
Terry, I believe he's the only dog you've got in work.
It is. I've had a number of dogs over the years, and had, I would say, above average success. I've had a couple with trainers, and then there was a period where I was out of Brisbane for a number of years, and there was a huge gap before I purchased another dog. We did have a pet greyhound here, which isn't here any longer, unfortunately, but this fellow seems to have adapted well, and as I said, he just has that will to win, and it's exciting, very exciting.
Where to next? Are you going to have a shot at the Nationals?
Yeah, there's the winter chase there, as you say, in a couple of weeks' time, which is Group 1. I'm going to submit a nomination and hope that we do get a start. But, I always knew that he would break 30 once he was on the bunny, and he did, as you say, 29.75. Which I think puts them up there with some good dogs. So we'll have a go anyway if we do get a start.
Well, that Group 1, that winter chase, the heats are on the last Thursday of this month, and then Thursday, July the 6th, is the final itself.
Yes, it is.
Now, Terry, your story is an interesting one too, along with the naming of your dog. I believe you basically retired after running a business at Capalabar in Brisbane's East.
Well, I did own Capalabar Pet Food for 9 years, and that's how I got involved with the greyhound industry, and I purchased my first pup after I did the first intense greyhound training course, which was over a 3-month period in Queensland, and that was a certified course, and it certainly it's helped me with knowledge of greyhounds over the period that I've been training them, and now I have officially retired after being out in the country for a couple of years managing a plant, and I feel that because I'm able to do it full time and be here with him, I really do think that that's paying its dividends. It is, and I'm a great believer in that. That he gets nothing but the best, and he's special, very special.
Yeah, well, it was terrific to see you on Thursday night, gone at Albion Park, Terry. Congratulations again on the listed win in the Flying Amy Classic. Buy Shoes to Fill. All the best in the winter chase, and indeed going forward to the Nationals, which will be hosted by Brisbane, and the final of that will be on August the 25th. Great to talk to you on Going Greyhounds.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, there's Terry Orcrum there. We are heading to the New South Wales Hunter Valley, to Richmond Vale, and we've got Jason McKay on the line. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, Jason trained the Peter Mossman champ, Mr. Twister, to Group 1 glory at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. Jace, good morning to you. Your dog led all the way from box 5 in the final on Saturday night, but you weren't on track for a very good reason.
We had a little do-it-own, Dave, and we had a few people there, and I'll tell you what, you couldn't hear yourself, mate, when the lids went up. That's what it was all about, the getting the start right, and they all enjoyed themselves. Don't worry about that.
And it was your wife, Rochelle's, birthday, so hopefully you opened up another bottle of champagne after the victory.
Dave, I'll be honest, there was a few corks going up in the air when he went over the line.
I bet there was. Now, look, you know, Jace, I looked at the race for days and days and days in the lead-up, and I thought it'd be Lucky Chap, Mr. Twister, or Uphill Jill from boxes 4, 5, and 6, respectively, charging into the first turn. But your bloke just blew it out the window. His 5-47 first split set up the all-the-way victory.
Yeah, Dave, just recently, sort of the last couple of months, he's really adapted to the boxes, mate. He's just sort of getting it spot on, if that's the case. He's the lid's opening now, and he's lobbing a couple in front. If that can continue, he's going to be in for a real bright future.
So have you put in any extra work? Have you put in a lot of extra work on his box manners?
Dave, we've done a little bit of work on him, tell the truth, but I haven't been going to touch him lately because he's got it so good. But We'd done a little bit of box work there, and I just seen that he was down waiting, Dave, not wanting to move. So I just left it at that, and it's worked a treat, mate. So we just push on, hope that trend continues.
Well, Jace, Mr. Twister clocked the flying 29-71 in the final, with Uphill Jill chasing hard all of the way for a gallant second. But were you ever worried? Because it just didn't look, looking back at the replay a million times, it just looked like it was never in doubt.
No, exactly. Dave, he's one of those, don't get me wrong, all in group ones, they're all a quality girl with many chances, but he's just got them boxes right, and he's nice and strong at the end of his races. So basically, he's in front after 300 metres. Honestly, I don't think any dog could run him down, mate. He's a powerhouse finisher, and he's starting to put it all together. He's 2 and 5 months now, so he's nearing his peak, which you want him about 2 and a half, and done a great job there, Dave. I'm wrapped with him.
After his Richmond Riches win, we spoke about his tonsillectomy and how you knew he had to have that surgery. It's proved to be the perfect remedy.
I think we hit the right button there, Dave. Just when he was on his, when they flared up and I put him on the antibiotics, he went good. But when the medication dropped off, they'd flare up again and his runs were really ordinary. So I made a decision to have the vet take him out. And it's been a godsend to all the people. And they just been able to replace him. And he's earned a bit of money, mate. So it's been a good move.
He's a son of Collision and Double Twist, and now has the Group 1 next to his name, Jace, with more than $250,000 in prize money. A very smart buy at the Richmond Puppy Auction by owner Luke Murray and the Tiger 7 Syndicate.
Exactly right too, Dave. They're one of the, that type of crew, their syndicate headed by Luke. They don't shirt nothing when it comes to breeding. They do their homework and nothing deters them money-wise. If there's something they want and they think it's the quality they're looking for, they'll open their wallet up, mate. They've done that plenty of times, and this bloke's now got a sort of a real trend of chasing the next one, you know what I mean?
And you told me, Jace, that Luke Murray is just the perfect owner. He lets you train the dog, he stays out of it, and he thanks you at the end of it.
Well, exactly right, Luke. I've met a lot of them now, the city get back, so they don't say do, mate. All you get out of them when we lose the draw is thanks very much, and well done, but Luke's a real professional, mate. He knows exactly where he's heading. He selected us to train this dog. It's been a great move, but if the decision's got to be made, mate, he just leaves it entirely up to me. I'll just try and keep him at his peak, Dave, week in, week out, and we'll try and get the next one, mate, whenever that is.
Well, Jace, Mr. Twister's now won 14 from 32, as I asked Terry Aukram before about shoes to fill. Are the Nationals now in his sights?
Yeah, 100%, Dave. That'll be Story's main aim, but we'll have a real go at that this year because I think deep down Albion Park is similar to Richmond. It's a real hard circumference run. It's a 520, but it's a real testing 520. It's suiting fine up there the way he races.
Any other dogs in your kennel we should be following, Jace?
Oh, there's a pup that's about to get to produce soon, Dave. She's a little bit. Dippin' Caitlin, her name is. She's something real special, Dave. You'll see her in probably the next 3 weeks, mate. We'll start her career, but if that all continues, she could be real handy too.
Fantastic, Jace. Well, all the best with Zipping Caitlin and indeed with Mr. Twister and all the other dogs in your kennel. And as always, thanks for giving up your time. And please give Milo, your right-hand man and your handler, give him a big rap too. He did a fantastic job on Saturday night.
Dave, you've got to have a proper team around you, mate. Without your proper team, you struggle. But we're very lucky that way, mate, so I'm over the moon. But also, Dave, thanks for you, mate. You're doing a top job in your new role. Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, Jace. I love the dogs, and it's great to be doing this. And I look forward to running into you on track pretty soon.
Yep, all the best, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jace. Jason McKay joining us there. Now, Robbie Britton, we're having trouble getting hold of Rob, so we'll keep trying him. In the meantime, we're going to head to England now, and Julie Collier from Sky Sports in the UK is standing by for her regular report on the English Derby at Toaster. The third round has been completed, with one Irish chaser shining again, but some other Emerald Isle chasers failing to flatter, while the English dogs stepped up to the plate. Here's Julie with the wrap.
The third night of the English Derby saw yet more drama, and it was a particularly bad night for the Irish as they lost some big-name contenders, including Irish Derby winner Ballymat Matt, College Paradise, and one of the long-time favourites, Priceless Brandy. It was a better night for the English. runners with standout performances from Drupis Buick, who unusually for him came from off the pace to score. Bruiser's Bullet looks to have all-round ability required to win the Derby, and his trainer Mark Wallace is still supremely confident. And Pacey Bambi, who slipped under the radar prior to the Derby, is now 3 from 3 and certainly shouldn't be ruled out. The performance of the night, though, in my opinion, has to once again go to the dog who broke the track record last week, Tyra Shea. He came out handy and then was strong from off the pace, getting up comfortably in the end and clocking the best time of the night, 29.05. His delighted trainer, PJ Fahey. For me, he's the biggest and most promising contender at the moment. Roll on the Derby quarterfinals on Tuesday. The dogs get just 3 days rest. That really is a true test of a potential Derby champion.
As always, from Sky Sports UK, and myself and Dave Stanley will talk more about that on The Catching Pen tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. Okay, we are going to head to Melbourne now. Listen, just before I get Robbie Britton on the line, I want to congratulate trainer Ray Smith, who quinella'd the Stayers Challenge final at Wentworth Park on Saturday night with the National Derby winner Big Daddy B and Midnight Treat, and Denise Warren from Goulburn, who trained the first two home in the Sprinters final with Quota Dynasty and Something New. And while I'm here, Maddie Lanigan, who made the grueling trip from Swan Hill in Victoria with Zipping Hooch, which also saluted from the eight box at Wentworth Park. And didn't Matt and the boys give it to me for not tipping the dog? I won't get a beer in Swan Hill, that's for sure, but congratulations to you fellas. I put it in, I took it out, I put it in, I took it out, and I took a gamble. Didn't come off. All right, it's time to head to Melbourne now to the kennels of champion conditioner Robbie Britton. Rob, first up, congratulations. Stunning win of Fanta Bale in the Group 1 Albion Park Gold Cup on Thursday night. I'm sure you were relieved when she jumped straight to the lead from box 7.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It was my biggest worry that she could get held up early, especially from being out wide. And when she jumped the front, it was a huge relief.
She blitzed them in 41 and 72 to clinch her fifth Group 1, downing the outside of Big Easy Red by 6.5 lengths. Crowd favourite Cindy's Magic was third. Now, Rob, she's been invited back to this Thursday's listed Super Stays at Albion Park, but I believe now she won't be lining up.
No. I made a decision this morning. After the race and over the weekend, she had a slight, what I'd call a stress husk. And I think it's to do with the fact that it was such a gut-buster that track was heavily affected by the day before's rain. And the fact that she's led all the way, it was a gut-buster. And I felt that she's taken a toll, so I thought we need to give her a week off.
Okay. And where will her next start be? I know, obviously, the Nationals are...
We'll probably go back to 600 for a couple of weeks, Dave, until the Nationals. I think that's the best way we'll play it. I don't want to take her off the track if possible, but I'd rather just maybe have a couple of 600s just to lighten the load on her.
Yeah, well, she's had a remarkable year. She's won at the highest level over the sprint, the middle distance and the staying caper. And you certainly deserve a stack of credit, Rob, for that versatility in her feats.
Yeah, look, I don't know about credit, Dave. I think that she's just a dog that you put a lead on and she takes you to the boxes and she keeps doing it. So she's just been such an easy dog to train that's why I've decided just to back off a little bit, because you can't keep going to the well all the time.
Well, you certainly know what you're doing and you're respected right around Australia and overseas. And just while I'm here, the four dog Super Stayers field will now be Burn One Down, Ebby Ripper, Cindy's Magic, and the reserve Big Easy Red comes in. Cindy's Magic lining up in a third Super Stayers. The box draw Lukey Gatehouse from Albion Park tells me will be out by mid-afternoon today. Now, Rob, on to another subject now. Greyhound participants in Victoria are currently invited to have their say on the Victorian government's proposed new code of practice, which covers a dog's complete life cycle from breeding right through to racing and retirement and rehoming. The draft code, it's in direct response to the 2015 Racing Integrity Commissioner Sal Perna's report into live baiting and Chief Veterinary Officer Dr. Charles Milne's report on animal welfare. Rob, it also contains mandatory minimum requirements for housing, exercise, socialisation, mental stimulation, record keeping and staffing. And Rob, there's new rules that have been proposed for the size of kennels, for fencing, and also requirements to employ extra staff. And the extra staff in particular have many trainers up in arms.
Yeah, look, I think there are certain things we probably expected to be in it, Dave. Like, you know, we're not kidding ourselves, we knew there'd be regulation around kennel sizes and fencing and requirements. But the biggest concern is the fact that it's not grandfathered. And by that I mean that, for example, my kennels are pretty old and they need replacing. So I would be one of the first ones that have to replace. But when you have to replace or repair, you would then comply with the code. And again, that's, you know, like if your kennels are in good repair, they've got a life of another 5 years, you should be allowed to continue with those size kennels or fences as long as it's not a welfare or a safety issue. And that's our argument.
Well, Rob, you attended workshops. You gave government officials reasons why many of the new proposals should not be implemented. You're highly respected in the industry. You're not a loose cannon. You gave your reasons in a calm and intelligent manner. Do you think you were listened to?
No, not at all. I think that the Department of Agriculture, basically, they've done a cut and paste from the Domestic Animals Code. And as I say, there could be a couple of things in there that we mentioned, but in general, we were ignored. We tried to give a common sense approach, and we're not opposed to change. We want high standards, but we were ignored on most things we spoke about in the workshop.
Yeah, there's certain proposals about the size of kennels for the size of dogs. And if a trainer has 25 or more greyhounds, or for every 25 greyhounds, has to take on an extra employee. So it's going to be not viable for a lot of participants if those go through.
It is, but you've got to remember, Dave, it's still only a draft code. You know, you've got to encourage everyone that believes they'll be affected to write a submission and make sure they say how they'll be affected. Because in reality, it's you would like to think that if enough people use a common sense approach, that they will come back to some sort of workable code.
Yeah, that's the way. A common sense approach is extremely important. I spoke to one trainer at the weekend, Rob. He said he'd spent a few hours reading the 88-page proposals. And like you, he's urging everyone to have their say. And submissions, I should say, they're still a fair way away, Monday, August the 14th at 5 p.m. So, Rob, everyone's got plenty of time to really have their say.
Absolutely, and I think the main thing is, you know, getting across to people, don't be complacent and think someone else is going to do it, because there'll be plenty of submissions put in for people that don't like greyhound racing. So we really must support this and basically say how it affects you and how it affects your viability in the industry.
Yeah, that's right, because it's not just open to participants, it's open to the public, so you're going to have the antis certainly. Well, they'll be very, very vigorous, won't they?
Absolutely. They, you know, even it's grown legs this morning. It's been on the news down here in Melbourne, and it's created a sort of a talkback type thing where people, a lot of the antis are ringing in. So it's opening up things that we don't really need opened up at the moment.
Well, folks, you can phone 136 186 to ask questions, and GRV is also holding code support days to assist participants in the submission process. You're always clear, you're always concise, you're always calm and extremely sensible, Rob. Thank you for all of those points that you brought up about the proposed new code of practice. And indeed, congratulations again on Fanta Bale, and thank you for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
No worries, Dave. All the best.
Robbie Britton, champion bloke and just champion conditioner. Well, that is it for Going Greyhounds for another Monday. Don't forget The Catching Pen tomorrow evening, 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. Join myself and Dave Stanley. And that, of course, will follow in the gig. And I know Hazy and Jason Lincoln have a very, very big show organised for harness racing participants on In the Gig. It'll be a great show. They'll be talking about, amongst other things, the change to the Victoria Cup date. And we'll, of course, get an update on Bling It On, who had a tumble at Albion Park on Saturday night. That's it for Going Greyhounds. Catch you same time on Sky Sports Radio next Monday morning.